Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
For our call to worship, I'd like you to turn to number 861 in your hymnal. Number 861. This is taken from the NIV, Psalm 100, verses 2 to 5. And I'd like you to read with me in unison, please. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever.
Would like to invite those that are willing and able to come up front and kneel with me. Let's kneel down as we seek the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful this morning for this privilege of prayer. It's because of thy will, O God, and that you've allowed it that we are even able to be here this morning to kneel down and to call upon thy holy name. And Father, we are so humbled, O God, by your goodness, and we just want to pause and say thank you. Thank you for what you continue to do for us, O God, and for the many, many blessings, O God, even those that we don't recognize or see because of our weakness. And it's because of that, O God, that we want to ask for a special blessings. May you forgive us, O God, of our sins. May you turn those weaknesses, O God, into strengths, that as we stand before thee this morning, we may just give thee the honor and the glory that is deserving of a father. And dear God, we want to pray for those that are not here among us. They may be sick. They may be discouraged, O God, and they may not just feel up to it. They may not feel your presence, O God, and we just want to ask that in a special way you may speak to them and touch them, O God, with thy healing hand. We thank you for those that have been unwell and are now feeling better. And, O God, we want to ask for a special blessing for our pastor this morning as he brings the word to us. May you speak through him, O God. And on this thy holy day, O God, we just want to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and our hearts. May you help us, O God, that we may learn to trust thee and to have faith, O God, that no matter what, you'll be with us. We want to ask for a special blessing, O God, this coming week too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
Good morning, boys and girls. I have a bookmark for each of you this morning, and I'm giving this to you for two different reasons. One is because I want you to pick and choose good books to read. You can learn and enjoy all kinds of things from books. The other reason is I want you to read what it says on that bookmark. What does it say? It says, be kind, doesn't it? How many of you have been kind to somebody or some animal or something this week? Are you ever tempted to be unkind? We all are sometimes, aren't we? Yes. A few years ago, I had just picked up my grandson from school, and I was headed to Dee and Kevin's house that night, and I was trying to get dinner ready for them. And I had laundry to do. When you have six children, you can get a pile of laundry about this high sometimes. So I was going to go over there and help Dee Dee for a while. And I needed just a few things from the grocery store. So I stopped really quickly at Pat's Food Market in Freeland, and I walked really fast into the store, and I picked up the things, and I walked really fast, and I went up to the checkout. And I looked for the shortest line in the checkout so I could get through there fast because I was in a hurry. There was one mother and her son in front of me. And when I stood in line waiting for them to check out, this little boy, who was, I think, about 5 years old, he turned around and he started talking to me. And I didn't want anybody talking to me. I had a bunch of things on my mind trying to decide what I was going to do first, and I was in a hurry, and I just wanted to be quiet, and I didn't want to be bothered. And I thought, why doesn't his mother make him turn around and be quiet? I wasn't having very kind thoughts, was I? His mama didn't say a thing to him, and he just kept talking, and I was getting more and more annoyed. Finally, the mother looked at me, and she said something, and I had looked at that little boy, and I thought, something isn't just right here. And the mother said to me, she has just finished her chemotherapy. And I looked again, and it wasn't a little boy. It was a little girl with a pink winter coat on. I hadn't noticed the pink coat before, but I know you boys don't particularly like to wear pink jackets. And I looked again, and the little girl, I realize now, she had hair about that long all over her head. That's why I thought at first it was a little boy, because the hair was so short. And that little girl looked up at me, and she said something to me I will probably never forget. She had big brown eyes, and she looked up at me, and she said, would you like to touch my hair? She was so happy that she had some hair again, because she had lost all her hair. I wanted to cry, is what I wanted to do. I was so ashamed of myself for the bad thoughts I'd had, because that little child didn't quit talking to me. She had been through so much. I reached down and I touched that soft little head of hair. It was just like silk, and she was so happy to have some hair on her head again. And about that time, her mother looked at me and she said, aren't you Mrs. Butcher? And I looked at her, I said, Michelle. It was a girl I had had in school many years before, one of the nicest girls I ever had in class. I thought how embarrassed I would have been if I had said something about keeping that child quiet. We are always farther ahead to be kind. Two reasons why. One is, if we are kind to other people or to our pets, we always feel happier. And the other reason is, we don't know how much happiness that will bring to somebody else, the kindness that we are able to do to them. So always, always be kind. And I don't know about you, but I like stories with happy endings. And I had had this little girl's uncle in my classroom too. And when I went by the airport, there was a building there and it said Buford Builders on it. And I thought, I'll bet you that's where Jim is. So I stopped one day, and it was, that's where he works from. And I asked about his niece, and they said she is doing just fine. So happy ending to that. But remember, always be kind. You never know what your smile, your kind act may do for somebody else.
Good morning, everybody. Our scripture reading this morning is selected from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 to 7. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. May God add more blessing to his word in Jesus' name.
Morning, church. It's good to be here one more time. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, as we open our Bibles this morning, we pray, dear Father, that you will bless us, that you will watch over us, that you will guide and direct us. Dear Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would come and use us this morning. Father, you've said that you're more willing to give us the Holy Spirit than parents are to give good gifts to their children. We believe what you say, dear Father, and so by faith we claim that Jesus will come and especially direct our minds this morning that we may be able to comprehend what you have for us today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turning your Bibles to Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, and we'll read just a little bit there and go through this, starting with verse 1. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. The theme of my sermon this morning is this: bones by themselves aren't very useful. Have you ever come upon a skeleton of an animal that is dried up and the bones are just laying around? This is what Ezekiel saw. He saw bones, a valley full of bones, dry bones. You see, Ezekiel was a contemporary of Daniel. Both Ezekiel and Daniel went down to Babylon and they were captives. Ezekiel lived with the people. Daniel lived in the courts of the king. But in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, it starts out, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley that was full of bones." Notice first that Ezekiel was in the spirit of the Lord. In fact, what had happened, the Holy Spirit had taken hold of Ezekiel. And you know what happens when you realize you're in the presence of the Lord? You know, we have to be like Isaiah in Isaiah, the 6th chapter. Isaiah went into the temple and he's praying. And all of a sudden he's taken off into vision and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And one of the things that happens whenever you come into the presence of the Lord, you start to realize who you really are. And Isaiah said, "Woe is me." You know, if the Lord Jesus were to manifest himself to us this morning in his glory, we would fall on our faces and we would seek to hide ourselves from the glory that emanates from his being. Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. And I live in the midst of a wicked people." Why? He says, "For mine eyes have seen the Lord." And when we see the Lord, the first thing that happens to us is we get an idea of who we really are. And this is what Ezekiel saw. The Lord revealed himself to him. Daniel, praying in Daniel, the 9th chapter, nothing could he say that would exonerate himself. He says, "We have sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God." And he said, "What has happened to us, we deserve." Oh, I tell you, we need to get a glimpse of the Lord. But notice verse 2. Then he said, Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley. And notice the next verse, it says they were very dry. They were very dry. What Ezekiel is saying, and what the Lord is saying to him, he says, we don't have much of the Lord's Spirit. Notice what verses 3 and 4 say. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Then Ezekiel says, O Lord, you know. And then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The first condition of revival, and I appreciate what was presented in our personal ministry time, the first condition of revival is to recognize our condition. We must recognize our condition. In the third chapter of Revelation, Revelation 3, verses 14 on, it talks about the Laodicean church. He says it's a lukewarm church. It's a church that doesn't have anything to offer. It says they're rich and increased with goods, but in need of nothing. And then the Lord says, you don't realize that you're poor, wretched, blind, and naked. And Ezekiel says there, oh, son of man, can these bones live? Then he says, prophesy. What does the Lord mean when he says prophesy? Prophesying and preaching are the same thing. And it's interesting. Paul says, by the foolishness of preaching, God's word is to go to the people. This is how that God wants to bring revivals, through the foolishness of preaching. And I hope this coming week when Elder O'Phil comes in, that this crowd may swell and there might be a revival in our midst. Do we need revival? How will it come? Let's listen to what the Lord says to us. The first step for a resurrected church is a revealing of God's Spirit. God's Spirit must breathe on us. And it comes through preaching of the Word. It's synonymous to prophesying. Whenever God speaks to His people, He uses the foolishness of preaching. We read that John the Baptist came preaching, Mark 1:14. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. When God's Spirit comes, there is a revealing. God calls His servants to reveal to His people their great need. This morning I would like to ask you, what is our need this morning? Could it be that we don't have consecrated hearts? Could it mean that we lack commitment? Could it mean that we have unconfessed sins? Could it mean that we have self-proclaimed righteousness? Could it mean that we have better than thou attitudes? Could it mean that we have bitter roots of resentment? You see, when we start realizing what we really have with ourselves, and we start looking inwardly instead of outwardly, and we start looking into our own hearts, that's when revival begins. It has to begin with us. And that leads to confession. Private sins are to be privately confessed. Public sins are to be publicly confessed. And when people come to us and say, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, I've had feelings that weren't good toward you, would you forgive me? What's our responsibility when somebody says that to us? Of course, I'm sorry too. I'll tell you, there's nothing that warms the heart more than when people have a spirit of confession and forgiveness. I may have told you this, but Ellen White in Vision saw, and it's in volume 2 of the testimony, she said there was a meeting. A man stood up And he said, before I stand up, I have something to say. And he named the brother, and he says, brother, I've had feelings toward you that aren't good. Would you forgive me? And the brother stood up and he says, yes, and I've had similar feelings. And they embraced. And throughout the entire audience, people were getting up and saying, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. A spirit of revival was taking place. Yet the sad part of that story is that it was only a vision. She said, this is what the Lord wanted to happen. But the people held back. Oh, dear people, we can't hold back any longer. The things that are happening around us and that are happening in our society and happening in the world are of sufficient magnitude that we need to take cognizant of who we are, where we are, and take the steps that will bring revival. Sometimes we find it hard to forgive. I was in a meeting dealing with a wayward person. One of the people said, you know, I don't care if she wants to come back. She still needs to be punished. She needs to be disciplined. When I think about Jesus, the thought came to me, you know, when Jesus was dealing with Mary Magdalene, they dragged her to him. And the Lord, the men said, this woman was caught in the very act. The law of Moses said she needs to be stoned. What do you say? Jesus said nothing, but he got down and he started writing in the dust on the pavement. Writing. And one by one, her accusers left. And then Jesus said to her, where are your accusers? And she says, I don't know, they've all left. Then Jesus said these wonderful words, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Oh, I tell you, our Savior is a wonderful, wonderful person. We can trust him. He'll forgive us. And when we are forgiven, we need to forgive others the same way he forgives. That's what will bring unity. That's what will bring love into the church. We need to have this. And it's for all of us. I think of Peter, poor Peter. Can you identify with Peter? Peter came to the place. Just to give you an idea how quickly our sides can change. Jesus was speaking to Peter and the rest of the disciples, and he was talking about the resurrection. I mean, about the crucifixion, how he would have to go up to Jerusalem. They would take him and they would crucify him. And Peter took the Lord aside and he says, Lord, this is not going to happen to you. The Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. Do you know, just a few verses before this, Jesus was talking to the disciples and he says, whom do men say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Peter, he says, that only comes through the person of the Holy Spirit. 1 minute Peter's talking for the Lord and the Holy Spirit is leading. The next minute he's speaking for Satan. Do you see how quickly sides can change? Do you see how quickly the devil can take us captive? Oh, we need to be under guard. And you know, dear people, unless we are constantly having our minds shored up by the Word of God, we can fall for the traps of Satan. But I'm thankful when Peter, he went, when Jesus was taken into the judgment hall, John came in and then he got Peter in. And then Peter's warming his hands And he says, and the lady comes, he says, you sound like one of them. Are you his disciple? She says, I don't even know you. I don't even know him. 3 times he denied his Lord. And then when he saw Jesus slapped by that officer, they treated him so cruelly, Peter realized what he had done, and he went out and he wept. He denied his Lord when he needed support. You know, Jesus, 2 of Jesus' disciples died that night. Judas went out and hung himself. But Peter died to self that night. After the resurrection, Jesus made sure, and in Mark the 16th chapter, verses 6 and 7, he said, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. See the place where they laid him. And go tell his disciples. And then the angel says, and Peter, the Lord didn't want Peter left out. And he says, and Peter too. In one brief moment, Peter had blown it all, and Peter was reinstated. The Lord went privately to Peter after the resurrection. And he became the great leader of the church. You see, Jesus could have forgiven Judas too. He wanted to. He only needed to acknowledge his sins. Jesus forgives unconditionally, and we need to do the same. What caused Peter's fall? You know what caused Peter's fall? Jesus takes his disciples into the garden. And then he takes those 3, Peter, James, and John, into that inner circle. And then he goes apart and he starts praying, pleading with his heavenly Father. He says, oh, Father, if there's another way, let's do it that way. He comes back to see what Peter, James, and John were doing, but they were sleeping. Do you ever kneel down and you're tired? Sleep comes easy. Praying doesn't come so easy. You fall asleep when you need to be praying. Sometimes we can gain great victories if we just persevere in prayer, but we let our eyelids fall. Oh, I tell you, we're a valley of dry bones, aren't we? Do you know what dries us up? Do you know what causes spiritual drought in a church? We don't make a full commitment. We do it like potluck. Pick and choose. We believe in 911, you know? You know what 911 is all about? When you get in trouble, you dial 911. But we need to be praying before 911. We need to be praying now so that when 911 comes, like it did in 2001, we'll be ready. Our son-in-law lost his father a few years ago, and his father had arthritis, crippling arthritis, just shriveled him up, and he was in terrible pain, and he got pneumonia. And our son-in-law come up to be with his dad, and he prayed that the Lord would heal his dad. And he prayed and prayed and prayed, and his dad passed away. Mark came to me a little bit later, and he says, why didn't the Lord heal my dad? I says, Mark, how did you want the Lord to heal your dad? He says, I wanted him to restore him like he was before he got sick, when he came down with pneumonia. You mean you wanted the Lord to restore your dad like he was when he's shriveled up, laying in bed? Mark threw his hands down. He said that was a selfish prayer. The Lord knew what was best. Sometimes we pray selfish prayers. We don't pray like the great God of heaven who knows best. We don't surrender to His will. And you know, dear people, we need to give it all. You know, we knew a lady by the name of Arlene. She had cancer. The elder in the church came to me and says, you know, we've got to give Arlene. And Arlene was older. She says, we've got to give Arlene the health message. We've got to show her what the benefits of a vegan diet is. But Arlene was way past that. Cancer had invaded her body and she was dead in a few days, you know. We mustn't play Russian roulette. You know what Russian roulette is? You take a pistol that has six places for bullets. You put one bullet in it. You spin it. Pull the trigger. You got 1 in 6 chances. You know, we're playing Russian roulette. You know how? 1 out of 2 men will get cancer, some kind of cancer. 1 out of 3 women will get some kind of a cancer. But you know, they've figured out that if we were to follow what God has given to us as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we could improve the chances of 3 out of 100. You know, dear people, God has given us something special. You know, we don't make a full commitment. And I appreciated the appeal that Dorothy gave for the offering this morning. We don't make a full commitment to the Lord in the handling of our finances. I have determined that God, you can't outgive God. If you will give to God, He will return back to you. You know, it's easier to live on 9/10 than 10/10. Somehow, God's math is different than ours. God blesses those who are faithful to Him. You know, somebody asked how much John D. Rockefeller left when he died. Do you know how much he left? He left it all. That's right. Don't make any difference whether you got a $10 or $10 billion. You leave it all. Remember, we're a valley of dry bones. You see, we got so-and-so said this about me. He said, she said, they won't, they aren't, and I won't. Brothers and sisters, if you have unresolved issues, if you're unwilling, if you're unforgiving, if you don't, you know, but you don't because of this or that, then you're in the bone pile. If you're living in a relationship that is wrong, then why don't you fix it? If there's resentment or hatred in your heart this morning, then you're dry bones. Is there something you know that you don't want to do? Then you're dry bones. Notice verse 11, Ezekiel 37. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones, who are these bones? Notice what the text says. These bones, Ezekiel 37, verse 11, he said, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Who's Israel? Galatians 3:29, if you be in Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham. Israel is us. We're the spiritual Israel. We are the people that make up God's people. We are His. Oh, dear people, we're a valley of dry bones because we haven't spent the necessary time with our Lord. How's God going to put life back into us the same way He puts life into something? You remember back there, God has spoken this world into existence. It's the sixth day, and he's formed this person, and he's laying there on the ground. Dry bones, if you please. There's no life in him. And God comes close to that man and speaks or breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. And he became a living soul. What gave life to Adam? It's God's breath. What will give life to us is God's breath. We need God's spirit to breathe onto us, and then there'll be life. We believe he will resurrect our loved ones, don't we? In fact, last Sabbath, my wife and I had to go to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. I had the funeral for my best friend. You see, I believe that the God of heaven will resurrect my friend. But how's he going to do it? He's going to breathe into him life again. But what about us who believe that we're going to live to see the second coming of Jesus Christ? Are we going to let God breathe life into us? That has to happen. We have to breathe, have the life of Jesus breathe into us so that we can become a spectacle to the world. I don't know how many of you have had time to listen to Scott Ritzma's seminar at camp meeting this summer. If you haven't had a chance, there are 6 CDs and 6 DVDs. You owe it to yourself and the church family to hear what he has to say. Overwhelming what media has done to our society through television, through music. We are captive. And unless we break that bond that Satan has upon us through the media, we are dry bones. You know what hate literature is all about? Do you know that there's laws in our country to protect the guilty? I'm saying to you, don't fool with the system. Live and work as men and women in a foreign land. We seek a better country, don't we? A heavenly one. Words and pictures captivate us to the place where we cannot distinguish right from wrong. The only hope that we have is for God's gentle breeze, the Holy Spirit, to blow on us. And what happens when God's Spirit blows on us? Can you imagine an arm moving around by itself, or a hand waving to you all by itself? No, those bones must come together first. And before this church can be energized by God's Spirit, those dry bones must come together, and God's Spirit will breathe on us, and then there'll become sinews and muscle and flesh will come upon us, and we'll become living, a church that is alive and vibrant, and God can put his Spirit in us. When that happens, God's people will do what God asks us to do. You see, we're all part of a body. Do you ever have a hangnail or a hangnail in your toe, you know, sticks? Hurts, doesn't it? Do you ever have something hurting your body? You know, why not just cut it off? Cut it off. Won't that solve the problem? Oh, no. You see, when we got a brother or a sister that hurts among us, we should all hurt. Isn't that right? But when we are disconnected, we don't have feelings for one another. Dear people, if God's going to breathe on us, We've got to come together as a body and support one another, because when that happens, then God can do a special work for us. The creative power of the Lord can breathe on us His life. As this happens, something will happen to you. God will fill your cup. This cup will spill over to others. You'll have enough to give to others, and they will share with others. And very quickly, this gospel will be preached, and this valley of dry bones will come together. We will be one body, ready for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have been here today. We have felt your Spirit, and we pray that it will move upon each one of us. Where we are dry, fill us with your Holy Spirit. May we go forth from this place, no longer dry bones, but your servant. Live out your life within us, dear Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.